Here, Larry, I'm going to help you.
Okay, ready to start. All right. Everybody have a source page? Thank you, Rabbi Fuchter. You're ready to go.
All right. So I guess just to make this feel like one long shiur, I'll pick up where Mrs. Miller left off in regards to the 36. I always say in my in school, in shiurim, 36 does come up a lot of times in Judaism. You know, every holiday really has a theme that kind of runs through the holiday. Hanukkah, I think, is really all about Torah learning, specifically Torah Shebaal Peh. Sorry, the number 36, we light the 36 candles represented of the 36 hours. I think the Medrash says that the original light was God put into the world before he created, the actual lights on day four. Also, according to some counts, that there are 36 Gemaros, tractates in Talmud Bavli, that as we light the 36 candles of Hanukkah, we're supposed to bring out the light that's hidden within the Torah Shebaal Peh, inside the Gemara. And then this past year, I actually came to the realization that 36 is more significant. I'm sure everyone here, you're old enough to know who Richard Scarry is. Now, in Richard Scarry's books, there's a character called Stitches the Tailor, and Stitches the Tailor actually has 36 kids. So the number 36 is very significant. It took me a while to count, because in his books, it's a four-story bus, and you had to count all the faces in the window. But so 36 is a very significant number in Judaism and in Richard Scarry's life. But that's not why we're here. Absolutely. The moment I counted that last child and got the 36, I said, this is great. Can't wait to use that. Okay, anyway, so we're going to talk about lighting by the door. And what we do, I am assuming most people here do not light by their door, and specifically outside their door. I can imagine most people here, if not everyone, lights by their window. So we'll talk about, you know, what we do and whether or not in the original institution of Hanukkah, of establishing the lighting of the menorah, is what we do a fulfillment of that, or perhaps there was a later, quote-unquote, modification of the original institution, which we kind of hold by. So we'll just start by lighting by the door. So there's a Gemara, short Gemara. We're really going to focus on the beginning of this line and the last part of this line, and we'll contrast the two. But the Gemara in the first source says, Tanu Rabbanan, the rabbis taught in a Braisa, Ner Chanukah, mitzvah lahanicha al Pesach beso mibachutz, that the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is to put it al Pesach beso, by the door, mibachutz, on the outside of the door. Im hayadar ba'aliyah, if a person's living on an upper story where they don't have a direct door to the public domain from their living space. So manich b'chalon hasmuch l'shasaram, so you just put it in the window facing towards the public domain so that people can see it. And then uvishas hasakona, at a time of danger where you can't light it by the door, if you're living on the first floor. You can't light it by the window, even if you're living on a higher floor. So manicha al shulchano v'dayo. So you could just leave it on your table inside your house, inside your apartment, v'dayo, and it's enough. Don't worry, you fulfill the obligation, whatever it is. So just to take a step back, the first part of this line and the last part of this line, the first part is Ner Chanukah mitzvah l'hanicha al Pesach beisam yibachutz. The ideal is to light the Chanukah candles by the door on the outside, skip the middle, uvishasa sakana, and in a time of danger when you can't do that, so just leave it on your table. So the question really is, imagine for a moment you can leave it by your door. You can put it out. You're on a first floor, there's no shasa sakana, there's no danger whatsoever, and you decide, you know what, I don't want to put it on the door on the outside. I don't want to put it. I just want to leave it on my table, like the Gemara says, uvishasa sakana. Is one allowed, and does one fulfill the mitzvah by putting it on their table inside their house when no one else can see if it's not a time of danger? Right? From the first line of the Gemara says you put it by your door. And then the last line says, oh, by the way, and in a time of danger, you leave it inside. Okay, let's say it's not a time of danger and I lit it inside. Do I fulfill my obligation or no? You don't think so? Huh? So we actually will get into danger. There's a comment by the Ritva. We'll see danger is much broader than what we, just reading at face value, what we would define danger is, it's much broader than that. Is it danger to the person? So that's why, according to, it's not even danger. So we'll get there in a second. So there happens to be, there's a a bit of a brisker Torah here, but you know, there are usually two ways to look at things. So in regards to looking at how we view Shas HaSakana, in contrast to lighting by the door, there are two ways in the Achronim, in the latter day authorities, that they understand these two approaches. Meaning, is there an idea that ideally one should light Hanukkah candles by the door? And if you light anywhere else, you do not fulfill your obligation. If you light inside, you don't fulfill your obligation. The rabbis came and realized that this is not going to work because we just established a holiday, and there are many times throughout Jewish history that the Jews were in a time period of danger where they weren't able then to fulfill the mitzvah of lighting by the door. So does that just mean the entire mitzvah gets chucked out the door? And therefore they said, you know what? No, in the original institution of Hanukkah, you should ideally light it outside. If you can't, then light it on the inside. Or is it that no? In the original institution of Hanukkah, there's one mitzvah and one mitzvah only, lighting by the door. If you can't do that, you do not fulfill the mitzvah. But the rabbis were concerned and said, you know what? We don't want Hanukkah lights to get lost. We think it's very significant. We think it's very important. Therefore, we reestablished, in a certain sense, the holiday to say, you know what? There's a new Hanukkah called lighting the menorah inside your house. You don't fulfill the ideal mitzvah. The ideal mitzvah is lighting by your door. But we're making a new institution. We're going to light it on the inside. So we'll see some of the sources that I think will express this idea a bit clearly. So we'll start with the Rambam. And even though I put source 2 and 3 in that order, we're actually going to read 3 first. I did not, you'll notice 3 is just kind of a whole string of halachos. I really gave just the first one-liner of every single halacha. So that way when we read the first source number 2 in the Rambam, I think the contrast will be much clearer. Now, even though source 2 and source 3 are the Rambam, the third parak and the fourth parak, in truth, those are the only two parakim of Rambam Hilchas Chanukah. For whatever reason, the Rambam puts the halachos of Chanukah and the halachos of Purim in one section called the halachos of Purim and Chanukah. The first two chapters are about Purim. The last two chapters are about Chanukah. So the third parak is actually the first chapter about Chanukah, and the fourth parak is the second and last chapter about Chanukah. So we're going to read the source 3 first, and then we'll come back to source 4. So I'm just going to read quickly and just give you a quick explanation of each line. We'll skip Halacha Zayin for a second. So Halacha Aleph in source number 3 in Perek Dalet, Kama Neiros Hu Malik B'Chanukah. How many candles does a person light in Chanukah? Now we know 36. So the truth is, the Rambam goes through in those few halachas, really, you could only light 8, no matter how many people. And then the Rambam says, if you want to be Mahadran, you can light one candle for every person. If you want to be Mahadran, Minamahadran, like probably everyone here does, you light however many candles there are per that night. One candle for the first night, 2 for the second night, 3 for the third night. Okay, so in those first 3 halachas, the Rambam is describing you how one fulfills the mitzvah, how many neiros you need. In halacha dalid, ner sheyesh lo shtei pios olo l'shnei be'adam. What if you literally have like a candle, which has 2 wicks coming out of it? Can 2 people fulfill the obligation by lighting that, quote-unquote, one candle? Goes through halachas there. Halacha hey, ein madlikin neiros chanukah kodim shetishka chama. He tells you the time frame for fulfilling the mitzvah, which according to the Rambam, let's just say, is the beginning of Shkia. Okay, he tells you the time frame. In Halacha Vav, he tells you what kind of oils and what kind of wicks you can use, which is opposed to Shabbos, which you're a little bit more limited. Skip Halacha Zayin for a second. Halacha Ches, third line up from the bottom of the page. Bimei HaSakana. In a time of danger, maniach adam ner Chanukah betok beisam mibifnim. He tells you what to do in a time of danger. Halacha tes, he says ner Chanukah shehidliku cher shot v'katan. He tells you whether or not one fulfills their obligation if a cher shot or katan lit the candles. In halacha yud, he talks about a situation where one has 2 doors to their house, one in the front, one in the back. If you have someone walking by, you know, let's say anyone living on, you know, like the Freedmans who have their door on the front and the back. So if they light in the front of their house and I'm walking down Gay Avenue and I can't believe the Freedmans didn't light their Hanukkah menorah. So do they have to light a menorah both in the front door and in the back door in order to avoid people thinking that one did not fulfill the mitzvah? And there are more halachas of Hanukkah. Okay, I know I skipped Halacha Zayin, but if you had to give in one line what the Rambam is trying to accomplish in the fourth perek of Hilchos Hanukkah, what would you say? Specifically, he's defining you for the halachos of Hanukkah. He's not telling you the background of Hanukkah. He's not telling you, you know, what the goal of Hanukkah is. He's getting into the nitty-gritty details of how you fulfill the mitzvah of Hanukkah. Okay? Now let's take a step back to source number two. And this is the Rambam in the introduction, the beginning of Hilchos Chanukah. I underlined and put in parentheses where Halacha Aleph, Bet, and Gimel start. I'll just read a little, but we're really focused on Halacha Gimel over here. But the Rambam and Halacha Aleph starts in source two. Vabaye Sheni, Kishamalchi Yavin, Gazer, Gezeres HaYisrael. When the Greeks came in, they made a lot of decrees against the Jewish people. Just heard a few about them a few minutes ago from Mrs. Miller. In Halacha Beis, halfway through that paragraph, towards the end of the line, Ukisha Gabri Yisrael Aleveim, and all of a sudden the Jews said, "We're not having this anymore. We're going to come in. We're going to fight the Greeks. We're going to beat them. We're going to bring back. We're going to go back to our ways." The Ibdum, and they destroyed the Greeks. B'chamisha v'esrim b'chodesh Kislev, it was on the 25th of Kislev. They came into the Heichal. They did not find enough shemen to light except for one day, and they lit. Okay, Halacha Gimel. In the bold. Umipnezeh. And for all of this that happened, that the Jewish people, the Greeks made decrees, and it was very bad for the Jews, and the Jews came in and they wanted, it was on the 25th of Kislev, and they wanted to, and they found one pach, and it lasted for 8 days, Umipnezeh. For all of that, Hiskinu Chachamim Shabosador, the Chachamim, Chazal, the rabbis of that generation instituted, Sheyushmonas Hayomim Ha'elu, that these 8 days, that begin on the 25th of Kislev, Yimei Simcha V'Halel, should be days of joy and praise. And the bold is second to last line in that source. Umadlikin Bahen Haneros Ba'erev, and we light the candles in the evening, Al Pischei Habatim B'chol Laila V'Laila, by the door every single night. Every single night, we light the candles by the door in order to publicize the miracle. In order to, there was a reason I read source number three first. Can anyone look at source two and the line we just read, perhaps towards the end of the Halacha Gimel? There seem to be three words that the Rambam adds in that seem to be out of place in the second to last line. When the Rambam is describing what the establishment of the miracle is, what the establishment of the holiday is. I'll read the line without the three words. I'll try. Once again, I'll skip Umimnezeh. Rambam's telling you, because of this, because of the miracle, they came in, they found one Pach Shaman, it lasted for 8 days, source three. Because of this, the Chachamim established in that generation, second to last line, Umadlikim Baneiros, how do we fulfill the mitzvah? We light candles. Ba'erev. We light candles ba'erev, and then what should the next word have been? B'chol Laila V'Laila. We light candles every single night. Why does the Rambam over here say, Umadlikim ba'ananeres ba'erev, and we light candles every single night? Al pisrei batim. By the door. B'chol Laila V'Laila. Every single night. Thank you, but we're in Halacha, we're in Perek Gimel over here. We're in the beginning of the introduction of Hilchos Chanukah. We haven't yet gotten to Perek Dalet. Perek Dalet, he tells you how many candles you have to light, what happens if this, what happens Shas Haskana, where do you light, what happens Achei Yeshua Katan, where should you light by the door. In the establishment of the holiday, the Rambam is just describing for you in very general terms what the mitzvah is. The mitzvah is to light candles. The mitzvah is not to light candles by the door. The mitzvah is to light candles. Huh? So, most of the shear, some of the... What?
You said that he puts the Arab in there? That's a sword.
Yeah, that really is, though, the mitzvah. I'm saying in Halacha Hay in Source 3, where he tells you, you know, what exactly the time frame is. And the truth is, there's a reason I skipped Halacha Zion in the Source 3, and there is one word that I think is also important. But maybe not. I'm saying that's very much... Here. So it seems a little strange that the Rambam is adding in those three words when that almost doesn't seem to be the definition of the establishment of the holiday. That seems to be a detail within the establishment of the holiday. So it very much seems from the Rambam that when the Rambam tells you, you read the Gemara, that if somebody asks you, what is the mitzvah of Chanukah? The mitzvah of Chanukah is to light candles by the door in order to publicize the miracle. Nothing less than that. I can read Halacha Zayin. I'll read Halacha Zayin after. Okay? So if you just skip the source 4 for a second over here. So once again, the Rambam seems to hold that very much part and parcel with the mitzvah of lighting the candles, it needs to be done by the door in order to publicize the miracle. You cannot split the two. And going back to our original question, so what if it's not Shasa Sakana? What if it's not a time of danger and one lights the candles inside the house? Would one fulfill the mitzvah? It seems from the Rambam, no. Because the mitzvah is not to light candles either by the door or inside. The mitzvah is to light candles by the door. If you didn't do that, you don't fulfill your mitzvah. Ah, but doesn't the Gemara say that if in a time of danger you light it inside? It's true. But that was a new institution when the rabbis realized, okay, if we don't allow the people to light candles during a time of danger, the entire mitzvah will be lost. But that is not a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Chanukah, and if it is not a time of danger, then one would not have fulfilled the mitzvah. So we'll see who else holds like that. So on source number two, this is in the context of if, I'm sure we're all familiar, you know, what happens? You light your menorah, and then all of a sudden the light goes out. Do you have to light it again or not? What do you say? I don't know. Nobody wants to. You know. The answer is you don't have to light your candles again. Kavza in Zakagla. Kavza, if you light your candles, assuming it had enough oil in it to last, half an hour, let's say 3 hours, and all of a sudden you light it, 10 seconds later, the light goes out. Do you have to light it again? Technically not. Technically not. Huh?
You can.
You wouldn't make another bracha, but you certainly can light it again. You don't have to light it again, okay? So the Gemara in this discussion says, is that really true? Is it really true that if it goes out, you don't have to light it again? Gemara brings down a little bit of a discussion over here in the second line of source number four. The Gemara says, no, you misunderstood the brisa, which they brought up to challenge that point. The Gemara says, the time frame for lighting the mitzvah is from shkiyas hachama, from the sun setting, front end or back end, not going to get into it, from the time the sun sets until the marketplace is empty. So the Gemara says, isn't that the time frame for if you light it and it goes out, that you should relight it? If you're still within that time frame, you should relight it. And the Gemara says, no. The ilo adlik madlik. It means that if you have not yet lit the candles and you're still within the time frame between the sun setting and the marketplace being empty, light it. You could still fulfill your mitzvah right now. You should do it right now. So on that comment, I'm not going to read it inside, but Tosos basically says in the first opinion that if you did not light it during that time, if you did not light it between Shkiyas Hachama and when the marketplace is empty, you know what he says? Avar Zman. You totally lost out on your mitzvah. And he says it's a little strange from Rav Yerucham Olshin, one of the Rosh Yeshiva in Lakewood. He points out it's a little strange. Why would you have lost your mitzvah? Just like we read in Source 1, where should you light your candles? By the door. What if it's a time of danger? You light it inside. Great. So if you could always light it inside, why, if you missed that time frame of Shkiyas Hachama to when the marketplace is empty, because you can't publicize it to everyone on the outside, great, just light it inside. Why does Tosos not even entertain the possibility that after this half an hour time period, you can light it inside? So he explains that from Tosos, it seems like the Rambam, that the publicizing the miracle is very much part and parcel of the mitzvah. You cannot separate the two. And if you cannot fulfill the mitzvah in a way of publicizing it to everyone outside, then there's nothing to be said for lighting the menorah. There is no idea of lighting in the inside. Shasa Sakana, time of danger, that's a totally separate institution. Okay, so you have the Rambam and Tosos here who both hold that very much that the mitzvah of lighting candles, if you had to define it in one line like the Rambam did over here, the mitzvah is to light candles every night by the door, every single night of Hanukkah. Anything less than that, one does not fulfill the mitzvah. I'll skip over here to source number seven. So this is going back to my father-in-law's question over here. You know, what's the definition of danger? So the Ritva says as follows, commenting on this Gemara of Shasa Sakana. So he says as follows. Uveshasa Sakana manicha al-shulchano, in source number seven. Perish, the Ritva says, this is how you should understand the Gemara. Lo sov devar sakanas nefashos. We're not talking about a situation where there's literally a life and death over here. That if you light it outside, there may be, you know, someone's going to come around and kill the Jewish person for lighting the menorah outside. There's a gzeira against that. That's not what we're talking about. Why? Pshita. It's obvious. What's obvious? Well, let's see. So pshita, it is obvious, whatever the it is. The al mitzvah sase lo yeharig. Because, of course, you're not supposed to lose your life for a positive commandment. That's like if anyone was in the Dunyashi. Ela afilu sakanas tsaro eva, even if there's a concern for pain or hatred, kimo b'tsarfas, that is France. Ulefichach, and therefore, haya omer mori haravzal, therefore my Rebbe said, shek shenoshav haruach. Let's say you light by the door, it's a windy day. You're trying to light outside, and you can't. It just won't light because the wind keeps blowing it out. What do you do? She'ev she'ladlika b'chutz, where you can't light it outside, madlika b'finim b'beisa. Just light it inside. Just light it inside. So going back for a second to the Pshita, the Ritva said, if it's a time of sakana, it's so obvious that what? That you light it inside? I would say so. Imagine for a moment it's Sukkos, and you have two spaces in your backyard, one that's under a tree and one that's not. And all of a sudden, you know, the Pi Ha'aretz that was created during the Sheshes Mei Bereishis was happened to be in your backyard, and it opened up and swallowed the entire space to put your sukkah that's not under a tree. You're supposed to put your sukkah not under a tree, but if you can't, so you just put it under the tree. Would anyone say that? No. So why is the Ritva telling you? Normally you put it outside. It's a time of danger. It's obvious you put it inside. It's not obvious you put it inside. Who says you can fulfill the mitzvah by putting the candles on the inside of your house? The mitzvah is, like the Rambam said, to put your candles every single night by the door. It's not obvious. You can't just change the mitzvah just because it's not working out for you. So Rechum Olshan points out that from the Ritva over here, the Ritva doesn't take the approach as the Rambam. He holds, not like the Rambam, it's not part and parcel of mitzvah. There's no such thing as the mitzvah is to light candles by the door to publicize the miracle. No, I'll just cut a little just for time. He basically says that there are two approaches. There's one approach like the Rambam, that the mitzvah of Hanukkah candles is to light the candles to publicize the miracle. There's another approach that the mitzvah of Hanukkah candle is really twofold. There is a mitzvah of lighting candles, and there is a mitzvah of publicizing the miracle. You can split the two. So we'll get there in a second. There are two mitzvahs. When you can fulfill both of those, do both of them. It's not a shas haskana. You can light by the door, you lit your candles. You lit by the door, you publicize the miracle. If you can't, if it's just shas haskana and you can't light by the door, okay, so at least fulfill one of the mitzvahs. At least fulfill the mitzvah of lighting the candles. You can't publicize the miracle, but you can light the candles. So he explains that this is the debate between some of the Rishonim over here, the Rambam on the one hand and the Ritva on the other. How much is publicizing the miracle part and parcel of the mitzvah or not? According to the Rambam, it is. You cannot distinguish the two. And according to some of the other Rishonim, it's not. So in regards to two brachas, there's a story with the Griz, now with the wind. Apparently the Griz, one time, it was very windy outside. And he lit candles inside. He lit candles inside. And then the wind stopped. I guess very soon after. And so what would you tell the Griz? The Griz came over, he asks you, do I have to light again? Do I have to light again outside? Meaning if there's really such a thing as lighting candles by the door, and there is an exception to that rule of in a time of danger, just light inside. Okay, but what if the exception is no longer, that's not the issue over here. The danger removes itself. The wind stops. Do I have to light again in order to actually fulfill the mitzvah in which Chazal originally envisioned it? So the Griz lit again. He took his menorah, he took it back outside, the wind had stopped and he lit it again because he very much held like the Rambam that you can't split the two. There's a special exception of a time of danger, but if the danger at any point removes itself, there's a time of wind, if the wind at any point removes itself, then you have to light it again. So for us, just to skip a little for time over here, I think everyone, does anybody here light it outside? I don't think so, right? No? If you're that one person, it's okay, no? Okay, we all light inside. So for us, taking that approach, let's say like the Rambam, where you're ideally supposed to light it outside, anything less than that, if it's not a time of danger, you don't fulfill your mitzvah. So then what do we do? Now you could say we follow the other Rishonim, but perhaps there's a way we can understand this in that we really follow all the opinions. How are we fulfilling the mitzvah nowadays, not in a time of danger, by lighting it inside the house, by the window? So go back to the Rambam for 1 second. And the end of source number 2 over there. This is not his point, this is my own, and then we'll read Rav Nemetzal's comment. But so I'm going to read Halacha Zayin, I'll read the Rambam again in Halacha 2, and then we'll there's one word that is different between the two. So the Rambam in source 2, Madlikin Bahen Haneiros Be'erev Al Pisrei Abatim, you light the candles every single night by the door, B'chol Laila V'Laila, every single night. Okay? That's what the Rambam says. In source number 3 in Halacha Zayin, this is what I skipped before. Ner Chanukah mitzvah l'hanicho al pisrei pesach beso mi bachutz. The mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is to light it by the door on the outside. B'tefach ha-samach l'pesach ha-smol. And the tefach that's closest to the outside, to the public domain, on the left side, so you're surrounded by the menorah and the mezuzah. There's one word that the Rambam, even after we said, why does the Rambam add in that detail of the mitzvah, there's actually one word within that detail that he left out. Bachutz. When you read the Rambam, umadlikin, in source number 2, umadlikin behenanesh be'erba pisrei batim. That is part and parcel of mitzvah. Part and parcel of mitzvah is to light the candles by the door in order to publicize the miracle. The added detail, which he discusses in Halacha Zayin, which is quote unquote unnecessary, that's lighting on the outside of the door. That's unnecessary. Which is why possibly, I wrote in source number 9 over here, this is my own point, but it shouldn't be Hagos for Nemtzal. A Hagos is like an emendation. He's just like a textual change. These are just notes of Rav Nemtzal. Rav Nemtzal writes, when the Mishnah Berurah quotes this Rambam, the Mishnah Berurah literally, the Chafetz Chaim quotes basically this entire Rambam about the Yevanim made decrees, and then we beat them, and then they established this holiday. And then he quotes that line, Umadlikin behen haneres ve'erva pischei habatim. What is a Pesach? Is it a door? So I'll just I type this up because obviously they didn't have his ha'oros in Bar Ilan. Okay, maybe the next version. But Rav Nemtzal writes as follows on the last source: Ulai, it's possible that Pesach Kan, the Pesach, which in English we would define as an opening, and the opening referenced here, einenu dafka Pesach leknisas bnei adam yitziyasam, does not refer specifically to an opening which allows for people to enter and exit. Ela Pesach liyitzias ha'or. It just refers to an opening for light. Why? To publicize the miracle. V'im kein, and if so, gam chalon b'chlal Pesach. It could be that even in the original institution of Chanukah, when they established ner Chanukah mitzvah ni'a Pesach be'ezo, the idea is to put it by the Pesach, the opening of your house. That didn't mean by the door. Because as the Rambam said, what's the whole point of a lighting by the door? The whole point is, just to publicize the miracle. What's the difference to be for the person passing by your door, whether or not it's right next to your door and they can see it, or whether or not it's in your window showing to the outside and they can see it? That's the novelty. I think there is an added aspect in regards to whether or not, like, the whole idea surrounded by the mezuzah and the menorah, some explain, what's the whole point of the mezuzah being outside? The whole point of the mezuzah is God's our king, we're her servants, and yet it's a little strange. Normally, the servants are on the outside, and the king's on the inside, and the servants are protecting the king. Over here, it's the opposite. God is the mezuzah, he's the king on the outside, protecting his servants who are on the inside. So on Hanukkah, where the whole point is publicizing the miracle, how do you thank someone? I mean, obviously, you go over to them, you write them a thank you card, you thank you. But if you really wanted to thank someone, you know what I'm saying? You, like, you know, put banners up, posters up, wherever, all over the place. Saying the more and more and more you publicize the thanks that you're giving over to a person, the more and more publicized it is. So, yes, can you see it by the door? Yeah. Can you see it through the window? Yeah. Okay, but the more and more and more and more you go to the outside, even within that, don't just put it on the outside. Put it on the tefach, the hand's breadth closest to the public domain. What's the difference if I put a two tefachim in? Saying you're showing that the more and more and more, the closest you can get, as far, you know, out you can get, the more and more you're showing thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the miracle that happened. But at the end of the day, the passerby that's walking by, who does he care whether or not he sees it by the door or he sees it by the window? So it could be that even in what we do nowadays is not just an exception to the rule. The rule is light the menorah by your door on the outside to publicize the miracle. If you can't do that, light it by the window. If it's a time of danger, light it inside. Then know that when we light the candles every single night, and I think we all light it by the window, and that we're trying to light it so that everyone walking by can see, we are, to the fullest extent, fulfilling that which the Rambam said, that we are lighting the candles every single night by the openings of the house, in order to publicize and show the miracle, and to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything he has done for us by Yamim Ahem Bezman Hazeh during the time of Bayit Sheni, when we were in this moment and God said, I'm going to make this miracle happen, and now we are thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the original institution, the original fulfillment of putting it out Pesach Batim.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you to everybody for coming. And I hope that this will enhance your final experience. And,
you know, the reason we like the door.